Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw, Sunday night, January 14th. Richie, this NFL game is kind of a snoozer, but so we kind of made good timing on doing this right now. Certainly, we just always go at 6, but yeah, the NFL gods looked out for us. I saw that Dallas just scored going to the half, but 27-0 by Green Bay before that on the last play of the half, touchdown by Dallas. But man, how's your weekend been?
Good. I hit my parlay yesterday, and I had the Packers +7 and the Lions -3. So I will be hopping off of this when we finish up, and hopefully the Lions can win their first ever home game at Ford Field. I'm looking forward to that and cashing on this parlay as well.
Nice, nice. I like it.
And I hit on Florida State beating Notre Dame last night, which was awesome. We'll talk maybe at the very end. We'll talk a little hoops because that's 4 in a row. That's pretty exciting.
Let's not go too crazy with the hoop stuff just yet, but they certainly have rebounded well. The women's team is doing really well. So, all right, let's jump into it. Richie, listen, before we even shout out Guthrie's, how nervous were you this week? We'll talk about Norvell and stuff later, but like, were you a little bit nervous? Were there some moments of nerves?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I don't know who he would have hired. I think Florida State's in a really good spot if Norvell had left for Alabama. But you know, he has something special building here in Tallahassee. I truly do believe that. And it was funny. My wife, obviously a notorious Alabama fan, she really wanted Norvell. Like, that was her top choice. I don't know if it was the cinematic recaps or, just watching the team all year and seeing, you know, how invested he truly is in Florida State, but she really wanted him. She was not happy with DeBoer. I think she'll be fine. Alabama's always going to be fine. But yeah, I was legitimately nervous, especially I didn't think Sark was leaving, and Lanning came out almost instantly and said, no, I'm staying here. That's when I got nervous, when Lanning came out and said that. And I'd never thought Sark was a realistic option. Yeah, I was nervous, TJ. How about you?
Yeah, I was as well. And we'll talk a little more Norvell, but yeah, I don't know that I ever felt like he was definitely gone or anything like that, but it was just kind of like the fear of the unknown, the fear of like, it's Bama. But all that said, yeah, I haven't had anything since then. So, but I definitely had to like celebrate a little bit. So
we now have a $10 million man. I never thought I'd see that at Florida State.
Highest paid coach in the state, highest paid coach. You know, I think he's only behind Dabo in the ACC. Like a top 7-8 paid coach in college football. I mean, that's pretty strong, you know? So, and well-deserved. So, all right, double fries, no slaw. Oh, so anyway, but cheers. So if we start slurring by the end of this, then that's why. Richie's always got a drink on this. So what's that? What do you got? Just a beer?
Chardonnay in a pint glass.
I was going to say, keeping it classy.
that's just what I do.
Double fries, no slaw.
It's a Maps of Tallahassee. I like it, though.
Hey, bro, at least I put my whiskey in them.
Go ahead and shout out Guthrie's.
Double fries, no slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe. Location number 3 is 2870 Appalachian Parkway. Although they are all over. There's one up there in Thomasville where Harlan's at, 14850 US 19 North. Literally all over, you know, Guthrie's in Tallahassee is kind of who takes care of us. But if there is a Guthrie's near you, certainly make sure that you're stopping there and not at one of those knockoffs. So shout out Guthrie's, appreciate all their support. And let's jump into it. Richie, a busy week in the portal this week. Hopefully I'm not missing anybody, but I've got Florida State with 6 portal additions since the last time you and I chatted. We're going to talk about a lot tonight, guys. So, you know, I appreciate all the questions. If you've got a question, we may end up getting to that later. If it's a question that's kind of already on the docket, then we'll go to it. But yeah, there's a lot coming tonight, so we'll talk about all of it. But as far as I can tell, 6 portal additions, 3 of them from the great state of Alabama, 4 total in this portal cycle if you add Earl Little in, but Malik Benson, TJ Ferguson, and then obviously Roydell Williams yesterday. Let's start with Malik Benson. Malik Benson, a wide receiver who started, I believe, 7 games for Florida State this year. I'm sorry, for Alabama this year. Didn't have like overwhelming stats at all, but also had a running back at quarterback all year throwing it to him. So, you know, wouldn't expect him to have overwhelming stats. The number 1 JUCO player out of out of those ranks the year before. A kid that's really talented, a kid that I think Alabama wanted to hold on to and tried like heck to try and keep on the roster. I don't know if there were whispers of Saban going or not before they happened. I mean, certainly they weren't like on the socials or on the, you know, in the media or whatever. But you almost wonder, like, you know, maybe was Saban like not pushing as hard to keep some of these kids because he knew what was about to happen or whatever. You know, I don't know. I don't want to speculate too much. But Malik Benson, absolute speedster out at wide receiver for Florida State, a pickup there. Thoughts there?
I love it, man. Like you said, number one in JUCO when he came out of JUCO, just a complete burner. And I think that we've seen a theme with that, with the what Mike has added through the portal this season, is just speed, right? That seems to be the theme for Mike Norvell. He's like, I want speed. You got, you know, DJ Uiagalelei, who has just a massive arm and can really push the ball downfield. You know, had a ton of big plays down the field at Oregon State. You know, I truly think Tony Tokars and Mike Norvell are about to unleash him onto college football. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be in the Heisman race or anything like that. But, man, the weapons you're putting around him with what you already have with Hakeem Williams, Javius Jacobs, Destin Hill. I love this wide receiver room, TJ. And it just seems like Florida State is all in. And we knew that was the case before this week. And we certainly knew it when we saw the numbers come out on Mike Norvell's contract that, you know, Florida State is pot committed to football. And Malik Benson is a absolute burner. And probably, you know, I like Roy Dill Williams a lot, but Benson might be my favorite get in the portal so far.
Yeah, I like Benson. I think he's really, really talented. Did a video on him, so I won't bore you guys again with that. If you missed it, go watch it after this. But yeah, I like our wide receiver room. You know, you don't have, and I think you're trying to see them stretch the field a little bit, Richie. I think it felt like at times last year, just it offense wasn't easy. You know, like moved the ball, but nothing came easy. You know, sometimes you feel like that in basketball, right? Where every shot is just, you may score, but man, you used all 29 seconds or you it took you 17 passes to move the ball around and then you got like, had to throw something up. But it felt like that at offense, you know, our offense sometimes. Guys just weren't, even with Johnny and Keon, who were banged up at times. And then obviously late in the year, you didn't have Jordan. It felt like they really weren't creating the right separation. And I don't know if that's just because of their speed. You know, Keon's not an absolute burner by any means. I mean, he's fast enough, but and so maybe that changes a little bit now with some of the pickups with Benson. I think Hill having another year in there. I mean, he's obviously a guy that you'd think is going to be pretty quick. Ja'Kai Douglas, it moves really, really well. And then you've got your big bodied guys too, like Kentron and Hakeem and stuff. And so, yeah, I like the wide receiver room. I like the diversity there. I don't know that. I mean, I think Kentron's probably your number one right now. I think your top three are probably going to be a pretty separated. You know, Kentron, Destin, Hakeem. But you got a lot you can do, you know, outside of just those three, and you'll see kind of where that goes. All right, tough names here. Can you do these? I'll tell you, Sione Lolohea from Oregon State. Oh, the other one's tougher, but I think it's Tomiwa Durajai. I'm guessing. I don't know how to say this. I mean, I have the phonetic pronunciation in front of me, but I don't
just know. Just load up the trenches. That's all I care about.
I don't know what capital J-I means. I'm guessing Jai, like Jai, you know, Durajai. But anyway.
Jai G, I don't know.
Yeah. Out of West Virginia. Florida State now with three defensive intakes. Marvin Jones Jr., Sione Lolohea, and Tomiwa Durajai. Three defensive intakes. Obviously, you lost a lot of production on that defensive line. Not breaking any news there. Tomiwa can kind of be inside, outside, 278, 6'4". I think Lolohea out of Oregon State, certainly a little bit more of an edge guy than being able to line up kind of all over or wherever. But there's an emphasis on the defensive line, Richie, and losing Jared Verse. I mean, I don't think anybody's coming in and replacing him. But I do think you need to throw numbers at it. And, you know, Florida State did a good job of rotating the defensive line last year. And it really kept them fresh for when we were, in Charlotte, when we were in Gainesville. Later in the year, they were ready to go. And so you've got to have numbers and you've got to have talent that can get in there and be productive and there not be a massive drop off. And so I don't know that the ceiling of this defensive line is as high as 2023's. I do think this defensive line can be better than 2022's. If you keep all your pieces and you're starting, you know, if you from left to right, if you've got Pat Payton, Daryl Jackson, Josh Farmer, and Marvin Jones Jr., and then all the depth behind it, I think this line can be better than 22's, which is quite a statement considering you had Fabo, you had Fabo was hurt a lot that year, but you had Jermaine Johnson, you had Keir Thomas. But I think what you've got in the middle and then the depth on the outside, I think that I don't think your defensive line will be as good as it was last year. I think it can be close. I think it can be better than 2022's. Is that too much of a hot take for you?
No, I agree, because looking at the schedule, I don't know who's going to be able to block this front. No. And it's just, you don't have the first round pick in Jared Verse, but if Marvin Jones Jr. reaches his potential, all of a sudden you do have a Jared Verse. And I'm not predicting that or anything along those lines. You know, I think he's going to be a very good player for Florida State. Like you said, Jackson Farmar in the middle, two really good friends who, you know, give us more headache than we'd like to admit sometimes. But we're happy to have them back. This will probably be the last year for both of those guys. And Pat Payton, same thing. You know, again, a little bit of a headache, but, you know, he's back. He's locked in at Florida State. And we saw how Pat Payton plays when he's locked in at Florida State. He is dominant. I think he can be a first-team All-ACC defensive end this year. And, you know, you add in the depth pieces that you mentioned from West Virginia, Oregon State, all of a sudden, say a Pat Payton or a Marvin Jones Jr., you know, they sprain an ankle, and then, okay, you're not going to have to force them to play just to get by one week. You can say, all right, you know what, take this week off, sit this one out. We got people behind you. And that Oregon State kid, say his name again, TJ.
Oh, man. Sione Lolohea.
He was what, second team all Pac-12? He's a good player. He's a really good player. I'm really excited for him. And the West Virginia guy is just, you know what you're going to get. He's solid. He's going to have some bad plays. That's just what it is. But his upside is really high. I just really love what our defensive line is going to be. I don't know if we'll get into a discussion on linebackers later. That's my biggest gripe heading into 2024 so far. But man, I love the way Mike is filling out this roster heading into spring football.
I don't think I've done a video in the last 3 weeks without griping about linebackers, so I'm sure we can schedule some time for that. if we get to 7 o'clock and haven't talked about it yet, then we'll give old Randy a break. So, Terrence Ferguson. My favorite thing about Terrence Ferguson is he goes by TJ and wears number 69. So I think that's fun. In the 2021 class, he was the number 50 overall. 58 overall player, second highest rated interior offensive lineman. Started against USF this year, played five games as kind of a depth rotational piece. Obviously, Alabama, really, really good trenches. Did a fairly good job against Georgia's pass rush this year. Obviously, good enough for them to win that game. Also, I think slowed down Michigan's at times as well. So, I like his strength, athleticism. He's a big, big kid. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he started at guard for Florida State. Don't know which side, but we'll see kind of how and where things go. But I think you picked up, you don't want to put somebody as a starter, in Ireland without them getting through the spring and getting through fall camp and everything like that. But I would imagine that Terrence Ferguson starts for the Noles. That would be my projection for him. I know there were guys that we got in the portal this year that we really expect a lot out of and didn't get quite as much. So I'll be careful just penciling him into week one starting spot. But I would lean toward him starting in 2024 for the Noles. So Terrence Ferguson, hey, I will take any offensive lineman from Alabama. Again, this is one where I reached out to folks that are very close with the Alabama program and basically just said like, hey, folks, I asked one person who I know is very close with Alabama, so I don't have a bunch of connects with Alabama. But I did ask, like, hey, what do you think about this kid? Like, is this a good – and they were like, yeah, we would want him back. Alabama did push very hard to get him back, committed to FSU the day after. Nick Saban announced his retirement. So I think that might have helped a little bit. Thanks. Thanks, Nick. So, yeah, I really like this pickup. Again, you'll take all the Alabama offensive linemen, especially ones that they're pushing hard and trying to get back. So, you're going to continue to add the offensive line. We'll talk about another pickup there, but certainly never going to complain about getting O linemen from the Tide.
No, absolutely not, especially when you think of, going back to the Willie Taggart days, our best offensive lineman by far, Landon Dickerson, you know, transfers to Alabama and wins the award for best offensive lineman in the country or best center in the country, whenever it was, or best guard. But yeah, man, if Alabama takes an offensive lineman out of high school, that they have the pick of the litter. You know, they are very, very good. And the fact that, you know, he's been eating at the Bama table for the past 2 years, that's a big deal too. I'm really excited. I don't know if he'll get a starting job, but you're getting competition now. You know, there was a time at Florida State where it was like, do we have five guys who can start and play just average at the ACC level? We're now getting to the point where we're like, who are the five best guys? And we know the three, four guys behind them are all really good too. And TJ, how cool is it? I'll transition a little bit. We get a TJ and a Richie on the offensive line this week.
I really like Richie Leonard. I'll be very, very upfront with this. I don't know that Richie Leonard comes in and just lights the world on fire. I also wouldn't be surprised at all if he ended up starting for Florida State at the other guard position. I think there's a good chance that he and Keandre Jones and maybe somebody else, maybe a couple other guys, kind of fight for that other guard spot. Yeah. But you know, a kid who can put on a little bit more weight, can get into a real strength and conditioning program, can actually play under a good offensive line coach, which he hasn't had, and a kid that transferred from your biggest rival, and as soon as he did it, wasn't afraid to pin a comment on his Instagram with the date of the Sunshine Showdown in the comment. So, yeah, a kid that already is buying into the, hey, we hate Florida, I am all on board with that pickup and that take.
Yeah, and Richie Leonard, he played the most snaps of any Florida offensive lineman this year. Their offensive line obviously was not great, but they were, you know, average for the SEC. So you take their best offensive lineman, that's a good take. You know, it's always weird seeing a guy that played 3 years at the University of Florida come to Florida State. You know, that just, this is college football in 2024, so this is what we can expect now. But he is all in. You know, he was going back and forth with, I forget the name, Cam something, one of their defensive linemen on Twitter who, you know, tweeted something about how he dominated our offensive line. Then people started posting videos and he immediately deleted that tweet, which I found hilarious. Yeah. He realized, he's like, oh crap, I didn't think people would actually pull the film. But man, I'm excited for Richie Leonard. Again, might be a starter, might be a depth piece. Either way, that's what you need. You need to build this depth. You don't, for too many years, we've gone into seasons thinking we like these five guys, but who do we have behind them? Now we have five. Now we have what? Three, four, five guys behind them. You know, not even thinking about a Julian Armella who's been developing, you know, behind the scenes. I think we're in a really good spot. And, you know, thanks to that infamous car ride, I don't think Alex Atkins is going anywhere in the next 2 years. So I'm pretty happy with where we stand right now.
Yeah, the offensive line room is something they're going to continue to develop, both in the high school and the transfer portal. They've done a good job of both, honestly.
Yeah.
They've,
yeah,
you know, done a great job with guys like you mentioned, Jalen Early, Julian Armella, Lucas Simmons, Jonathan Daniels this year. There's a lot of talent in there. Manasseh Aitete as well. There's a lot kind of going on there, and the Noles have done a great job there on the offensive line, and then all the portal guys too, starting with Gibbons all the way up and through Richie Leonard and TJ Ferguson. Last guy that we'll talk about, then we'll move on out of the portal stuff, but Roydell Williams, running back from Alabama, yes. Ton of carries, ton of snaps. He's been really productive. Man, he's got some plays that you look at, and he is, I don't know, he runs mean, man. He's a little smaller, but he runs like Greg Jones at times, man, the way he just puts his pad down and absolutely like tries to use his shoulder pad as a weapon and knock guys' heads off. He's a lot of fun. I told you guys this if you watched the video this morning that we put out on him, but like literally just not right now because you're watching us, but go to Twitter and search Roydell Williams and then like click over to the video thing and just watch some like sick runs from him. He had a big one against LSU and a big one against Auburn. He's had some, I think he may have had a big one against Georgia too, but anyway, yeah, go check out Roydell Williams. Really, really good. 11 touchdowns on the ground, 2 touchdowns through the air, little over 5 yards a rush for his career. So he's effective. And, you know, Mike wants the running back by committee thing, this thing. And so he probably takes a little bit of load off Toa Philly. He also probably gives Cam a little time to where he doesn't have to be a day one guy. So really like to pick up there Roydell Williams as well.
Yeah. And one thing, going back to his days at Memphis, I will never be concerned about our running back room with Mike Norvell. He always has a stable, like you said, it will be running back by committee. But man, I really like Roydell Williams. He's someone that Alabama did not want to lose. You know, they might have had some guys that they felt better about in their running back room. But again, he's not a guy they wanted to lose. When they were down 28-21 against LSU this year, he had a 16-yard carry where he just, man, it was a beautiful touchdown run against LSU that really, you know, springboarded that comeback win for Alabama, which allowed them to, you know, make the SEC championship, win that, make the college football playoff. But we're not going to go there. I just had a bad moment. But no, man, Roydell Williams is a really good running back. And honestly, he might be RB1 when we're in Ireland in 8 months, CJ.
I wouldn't be surprised by that, right? And I know a lot of people are like, oh, Toa Philly's RB1. And I just don't know that Toa Philly's I love Toa Philly. This is not some kind of a shot. I just feel like he's more of a change of pace. I think he does something very well, very specific, very well. And so could Toa Philly be running back one? Yes. Does he benefit the team more? It's like a sixth man in basketball, right? Like the sixth man.
Scotty Barnes was a sixth man at Florida State, and he was number four pick in the draft. And
he was the best player on the – like he was great. You know, he's the only one like – well, not the only one, but he's like killing it in the league now, you know? And so, yeah, being the sixth man or being the change of pace back is not a bad thing, you know? And so, yeah, I think Roydell's your horse that you feed, you know – more often than not.
14 carries a game.
Yeah, 15. That's exactly what I was going to say. 15 carries a game. And Toa Philly gets 8 or 9. But those 8 or 9, like, 3 of them have a chance for him to be in the end zone because that's just, you know, they're used to. So anyway, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's running back one when the season starts. We'll see, right? We'll see. And, yeah, I mentioned this. You know, I don't know that Cam Davis is quite on Dalvin's level, but Dalvin took until Louisville to really get going that, you know, 2014 season two. It's not like he came out against
it took Oklahoma. A Mario Pender injury for Dalvin.
Remember Pender scored in that Oklahoma State game, now that you mentioned that. And when he did, man, I think we were on like the 8, maybe the 14. It was fairly close. And I remember like Jameis handed him the ball and he was in the end zone. Like I thought Pender, like when we had heard all those things about Pender in the offseason. I know that we're going back here. This is not what anybody tuned in for, but you had heard all those things about Pender's speed and everything else. When Jameis handed him the ball, he was in the end zone like right then. And I was just like, oh my God, we're never losing again. And we didn't, you know, obviously we won the next 13 games. But I really like Roydell Williams. I like that pickup.
I'm so excited. I am for him. He's going to be good.
Mario Carlos and Dalvin, obviously that year, 2014 year. So, all right. Talked a little bit about the portal, maybe more there, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see what happened there. All right, let me give some love to Garnet and Gold. GarnetandGold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for all of your items that you're looking for. Listen, hats, shirts, polos, they've got it all. So just GarnetandGold.com. Code NOSLAW. Thank them for their support. We thank them for their support and all that they do for not only us, but FSU Athletics and its athletes. Richie, you mentioned a little bit about that car ride. A lot of fun this week with that. I thought Florida State did a good job new cycling this with the Norvell stuff that came out. So we won't spend a long time on it either. But do you think it's ridiculous that Florida State got, you know, banged over the head with this. And then like the next day it came out that UGA staffers were driving drunk with athletes like in their car and driving like 100 miles an hour and stuff. And you just think like, man, when you really think about the two things on their face, how are we the ones in trouble right now? But anyway, thoughts quickly on the NCAA stuff.
Yeah, quickly. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I think we were a little sloppy. You know, so I don't want to say Florida State did everything that they should have done there because clearly they got caught. Shout out Alex Atkins with the quote tweeting Mike Norvell saying "Let's ride" when the extension got announced. That was a double middle finger to the NCAA and Stan Wilcox and screw that guy. But yeah, you know, it sucks. And I wonder how much Kirby was involved in the reporting to this. Was it just the tight end coach, Hartley? I don't know, because everyone does this, right? This is not a unique thing to Florida State. Florida State's just the one that got caught. And, you know, Amarius Mims is the player that was involved. You know, he took screenshots of the text and showed them. And there were other influences that led to what happened. I'm just happy it was a level 2 and not a level 1 NCAA infraction. So, you know, you got to be on the straight and narrow for the next 2 years to get out of this probationary period. It just sucks because, you know, everyone does this. It's not a Florida State thing. It's not like Florida State went rogue. And to get popped for this, of all things, is ridiculous, in my opinion. Stan Wilcox, I don't know if he has a vendetta against Florida State. I think he might. And, you know, that's not to sound conspiracy theory. He really probably does. And it is what it is. But I think the NCAA has no power really whatsoever. So any chance they get to make an example out of an organization, they're going to do that. Or institution, they are going to do that. And it just so happened in Florida State this time. And it really makes me wonder what those conversations between Mike Norvell and Kirby Smart were at the Orange Bowl now. Because this has been known for months. Like Florida State's already served a lot of their probation for this happening. And I do wonder, man, was Mike like, "Kirby, really, man? You're going to hit me for that?" But it sucks. But, you know, it's not the end of the world by any means. 5 scholarships over 2 years, that's really nothing in the NIL world.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Not a massive deal. More so just kind of like a negative PR thing. After the month you've already had, right? Like after, you know, you had a bad 40-ish days, right? And really since Jordan's injury, I mean, there have been good things that have happened since Jordan's injury, but it's really felt like since that moment, nothing's been good, right? Like everyone
we got a conference title and that's it.
You get the sucker punch of your best and your favorite player going, you know, like everybody's favorite, like nobody like disliked Jordan. Right. And so even rivals were like respect, you know, were kind of respected, you know, what he had been doing. And so, you know, I think that, it's been tough. The last month has been tough. We don't have to rehash the whole thing, but then for that to come out too, and it'd be like, oh wow. And we were cheating on top of that. And we have all these penalties and stuff, which none of the penalties are.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Let's go, baby. Yeah. We're back.
It's more so, I guess, just the, you know, the NCAA just really sucks, you know, and that's, you know, that's the, I guess the big lesson in all of this. But ultimately not a major deal. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. It's not really, none of it's really that big of a deal.
As long as you stay clean the next 2 years, you're fine. Because another violation in the next 2 years, that becomes a massive deal. But I don't think we're going to go there. I think Mike is learning, and we are going to continue to do things that push the envelope, but do it in a way where we cannot get caught. And that's what you need to do at this level of college football.
If we can also be very, very real, this is no longer, you know, what we got popped for is no longer a penalty, like no longer a big deal, because schools and collectives can work together. And we are not the only ones to have ever done this. There were other circumstances that we talked about when this happened that kind of went into why Florida State got in trouble. And
truly not there's going to be other schools that get worse penalties
much worse in the
near future, the very near future. So Florida State, we're in the headlines now, but give it a month. It's going to be really ugly for some schools.
Yeah. I think it's, it sucked in the moment. 16 hours later, all was well in the world as Mike Norvell signed an extension to be at and with Florida State for quite a while. And you know what? What I think probably the biggest takeaway for me, Richie, is not to say that there's not any other job out there that could not lure Mike Norvell away, but being able to turn down Bama and you know, the Bama folks can say that, oh, we got our first pay. We got, you know, the Bama writers are even saying like, no, Mike Norvell was like very much in this thing. Yeah. Being able to turn down Bama, like there are, I mean, there aren't too many jobs outside of that one, especially with these circumstances, right? Because Bama was the team that wasn't as good as FSU and got in the playoff. So like if Mike would have said like, oh yeah, I maybe I should go on because like I'll never be able to, you know, like Bama's like objectively just better. They're thought of so much of as a better program than Florida State ever will be. I just need to go to turn them down. There are other big programs out there, right? And so I don't know that it just means that Mike Norvell will be here for the next 40 years, but you got to feel good about the statement it made about where Florida State is as a program and the way that Mike Norvell views them and then what he can use that as, you know, leverage for recruits, leverage for other staff members, leverage. Look, I turned down Alabama. You can do the same thing. So I think that's a massive part of it.
What I love, TJ, is that I don't know if he turned down Bama, but he turned down an interview. That was a big deal. It wasn't until after Mike Norvell announced his extension and raise with Florida State. Then things started moving really quickly with DeBoer from Washington to go to Alabama. Because they knew, you know, Lanning had said no. Sarkisian had said no. I might have, TJ, we talked about it at the top of the show. I was sweating a little bit. I might have sweated more if Sarkisian had taken that job and Texas was open. Because, man, Norvell has Texas ties, and they have all the money in the world. But it didn't happen. It worked out. And Norvell's locked into Florida State for the foreseeable future. And, you know, maybe an NFL job comes. I don't know if that's something he would like. If I was a college coach, I would prefer to be in the NFL, given, you know, NIL, the unlimited transfers, all this stuff that's going on right now. But yeah, man, I'm just so happy to have kept Norvell. And I think that's going to be huge for recruiting as well, because these recruits are going to say, whoa, Alabama wanted him. Like, he can say that. And it's, and you can look at national writers that have no ties to Florida State to confirm Alabama absolutely wanted Mike Norvell. I think he was above Kalen DeBoer. I think Dan Lanning was their number one. He shut that down quickly. I think Sark was probably their number two, but he's happy at Texas. I think Norvell was their number three. But they absolutely wanted him, and DeBoer was kind of just an afterthought. And it just so happened that all three of those guys shut down Alabama, which it's crazy to think about. But at the same time, you do not want to be the person to follow Nick Saban. And, you know, I'll give Jimbo a shout out. Is he the only guy that followed the man at an institution and lived up to the expectations? Because Jimbo probably did it better than anybody by going to five straight New Year's Six Bowls and winning a national title.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I don't think anyone has had, you know, that level of success. You know, I guess the big question would be, where do you, you know, how good do you consider Mark Richt to be? Because if you consider him to be really, really up there, then Kirby would be a good answer for you. If you have a lower view of Richt, then
Richt never won anything.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that's where you're like, well, how good, you know, how good was Richt with or without?
He was really good. And that's the thing. He was really good.
Yeah. I mean, Les Miles following Saban. Saban wasn't Saban at that time. But there aren't many, right? Like that's what we're saying, right? Like this is just, and Saban wasn't. Yeah, we have the history. We have the 2020, you know, hindsight. Think of the word, dummy. We have the benefit of hindsight at this point to know who Saban was. But yeah, I mean, nobody really to have the success of Jimbo. You know, like he really, you know, yeah. I mean, as much as we don't want to give him as much love and credit as, but I mean, he earned it, right? Like, but yeah, you're right. I mean, and it helped. I'll tell you, man, the Jimbo situation to me is so unique because he got to kind of be building it from within. Right. He didn't have to. That handoff is much easier, like that passing of the baton once you're already 100%. Inside. I'll tell you, that's probably why it doesn't happen, because you've just got to like flip that thing upside down. And so, yeah, I mean, it's hard. Whereas Jimbo was starting to like install some stuff. He was already OC. He was already familiar with guys. You didn't have to preach anything in the locker room. You're just carrying on with what you've got. So anyway, yeah. Big stuff there. Any quick thoughts on, I mean, we'll say this and then we'll move on to some other kind of recent stuff, but any quick thoughts on Saban retiring, being done, just him in general, just whatever.
Yeah. The greatest to ever do it, man. He really is. You know, you know, one of my really good friends is a Dolphins fan, and he hates Nick Saban because of what happened. You know, he said, I'm not going to be the next head coach at Alabama. And then he took the job. But, man, and shout out the GOAT, our GOAT, Bobby Bowden, for being 1-0 against Nick Saban at Alabama. In Jacksonville, I was at that game. That was awesome. But, yeah, no, Nick Saban, he truly is the greatest to ever do it. He continued to adapt and adapt and adapt. Every time, you know, things change, like up-tempo offense, he's like, okay, I can do that. You know, he went from being a defensive guy to whatever it was. Man, there will never be another Nick Saban. Again, he is the greatest to ever do it, and we will never see another guy like him, whether you like him or not. I personally like the guy, but he truly is college football's GOAT head coach, and I don't think it's close.
Yeah, no, I agree. Bobby Bowden is my favorite coach ever, obviously. Yeah, 100%. You know, every year that football rolls around, I think, man, like I miss Coach Bowden, right? And so, yeah. But it is undoubtedly Nick Saban, the absolute the absolute best to ever do it. Yeah. The run that he went on continue. I mean, just, you know, there, and man, I don't know. There's not even really words, but yeah, just the absolute best in everything, man. Just like requiring excellence, recruiting, actually winning, dominating rivals.
More first round draft picks than losses in 16 years.
Yeah.
It's nuts, just man. Stupid. It's stupid.
I said this, and the Alabama job wasn't the biggest job ever when it came open. Cause I mean, people forget Alabama wasn't very
good. They were trash.
Yeah. But like, this is the biggest job opening to come open that I can remember. Like, think of a bigger job opening to come open.
And it's because of Saban.
Right. Yeah.
That's the reason. Like, yeah.
A ready-made championship team. Like, their odds didn't like drastically drop overnight. And that's not discounting, you know, Saban at all. But like, their odds didn't go from like plus 500 to like plus 5,000 or something like that. Like, I'm sure their odds dropped slightly with Saban gone. But like, Bama's still like the second favored team to win the national. So like, to literally
worse than Bama, yeah.
Yeah. To have a job open up that is like a ready-made championship, like that just doesn't happen, right? Like, end of Bowden, things slipped. End of, you know, many coaches, like end of Urban at Florida, things slipped. End of Coker and other coaches, like big to end of Jimmy. Like, there are a lot of coaches where things have slipped. End of Jimbo, end of several regimes, end of Les Miles. Like, coaches usually like start to slip and get fired. But not this one, man. Like, for him to kind of go out on top, go out as a, you know, the GOAT that he is. And honestly, like, you know, I know the Tuscaloosa police probably covered stuff up, and I know that he probably had some handshake stuff like every other great coach out there. But, man, like, you never really heard of, like, a lot of controversy there. Like, he didn't have, like, he didn't have, like, staffers, like, drunk driving, killing people, you know, like, speed racing down the interstate and stuff. And, I mean, I don't care. You can say, oh, whatever, you're just hating on Kirk. Like, I mean, but it's true.
He didn't have a good program. He did it, and
they don't,
he
like
did it the right way.
Like that 08 Florida team, or no controversy, no massive I mean, there's stuff, right? Like, there's stuff that's happened, but not like most people. So I don't know.
I hate that we're giving Saban all these flowers right now, but he really did do it the right way. His players seem to absolutely love him. Florida State has 4 Alabama transfers. They may have 0 if Nick Saban was still the head coach. I think he probably gave that team a heads up. You know, I do think the athletic director, Greg Bryan, had an idea beforehand, but man, we will never see anything like what Saban did again, much like Florida State under Bobby Bowden with 14 consecutive top 4 finishes. You will never see a run like you saw Alabama in the previous 16 years under Nick Saban. And hopefully fans can appreciate that. Auburn fans will not, obviously, but every other fan base, guys, Nick Saban was, he was a gift to college football, and I'm glad I got to watch his entire dynasty and be old enough to watch it and know what was going on and appreciate it in the moment, because there's kids that were born, TJ, believe it or not, in like 2010 that have no idea how special what Saban did at Alabama.
Yeah. So I know you guys didn't tune in for Nick Saban talk, but he truly was special. And so whatever, I don't mind taking a minute to shout him out. And man, I love him on TV too. I mean, I remember watching him on TV When we were playing, I didn't watch it, but I when I got back home from Pasadena, I watched I recorded the entire day of ESPN. And so the very next, you know, on Tuesday, I watched all of the I watched all of the ESPN coverage.
Well, nice. My flight was canceled and I was stuck in LA for 3 extra days.
Ooh, sounds brutal. But yeah, so anyway, I watched all that stuff and I liked watching him on TV too. So I think he'll be great in, you know, obviously anything and everything that he does. So, all right, Richie, let's talk about this a little bit. Harlan, timestamp this and we'll cut it later, but let's talk about this. Cam Ward to the U.
Great pickup.
Yeah. Announced that he was going to the NFL draft and on January 1st, Miami moved on and got a kid to transfer from Albany, is that right? Jared Verse's old stomping grounds?
Yeah, Hufflepuff or whatever.
Yeah, Hoffenberger or, I don't know, some Harry Potter name. They got him to transfer in. Miami trying to figure out their quarterback situation desperately. I rate this 1 to 10, 10 being God's honest truth, swear on the Bible, and 1 being absolutely could not be a bigger lie. Cam Ward got a day 2 draft grade, like a second or third round draft grade, and decided to forego those millions of dollars and come back to play for Mario Cristobal.
Big mistake, in my opinion. And I think Cam Ward is a really good college football quarterback, and he's going to be really good for Miami. I think he's going to be misused, but he's a really good college quarterback. I don't think he even got a third round draft grade.
I don't either.
Because why would you forego the draft if that was the case at his age? You know, he's what, 24 years old now? I mean, it's the point where, man, he probably got close.
A little younger. He's a little younger. 21.
Okay. Well, he probably still, based on deciding to go to college, Miami probably overpaid for him, which is fine. Again, he's a very good college quarterback, and Florida State will have their hands full with him. I'm not going to try and deny that. He might have gotten an undrafted grade from the scouts and the people that are paid money to do this. I don't know. I just don't think he was that coveted in the draft. And at the highest, maybe fourth round at best, if a team wants to take a chance on you. Yeah, I just, if we're talking just college, really good quarterback, Florida State will have their hands full, but he's not an NFL quarterback based on him coming back, in my opinion.
The first pick of the second round gets a contract worth approximately $9.9 million. A signing bonus.
He wasn't getting that.
Yeah, a signing bonus of 4.2. The last pick of the second round gets a $6.17 million contract. So just call it a $6 million contract and a it's 1.49, but just call it a $1.5 million signing bonus. If you thought for even 40% of you, right, second or third round, if you thought that there was a chance that you could get $6 million, there is no chance in hell that you would risk because you're going to be a backup, right? Like Cam Ward wasn't going to start anywhere. And so it's not like he's going to the NFL with the risk of injury, right? It's not like he was going in and possibly risking his career by going out there and starting as a rookie. And so if you truly thought that you could be a second or third round NFL draft pick, if that was the grade that he told The Athletic that he was getting, there is zero chance you would risk that to come back and play for, again, Mario Cristobal. There's no chance. And I don't know that you should do it for any coach. I think that if you can, because what, Richie, you're a third round pick, right? You're a second round pick. You have $5-6 million. And what are you doing at that point? You're being developed by NFL staffs. You're being developed by guys whose only job is to make you better for their franchise, to make you better for the NFL. Whereas Mario Cristobal's job is to win college football games. It is a secondary job to develop kids. There's no doubt about it. You want your kids to be ready for the NFL. But that is a balance, right, of a college coach is, hey, I need to win games. I also need to get guys ready for the NFL. Mario Cristobal has a losing record at Miami. He has to win football games, or else they're not going to keep him around. And so
he's going to run him to death.
Yeah. Cam Ward getting the NFL and improving his draft stock, it can only go one way, right? Because I think he probably got an undrafted round, you know, grade two. But the idea that you turn down a second round paycheck to come back and play for Miami, for a coach that's under 500 at Miami, for a coach that's 73 and 72 overall, there's no chance. I don't believe it at all. Now, I agree with you. Miami with Cam Ward upgraded at quarterback. The problem is they still have Mario Cristobal as their coach. And that's the biggest issue with Miami. They've also got one wide receiver that transferred to UGA. They've got another wide receiver I saw that was in jail or something this weekend.
Oh, Jesus.
And I saw, I don't know, I saw their fans posting mugshots.
Speaking of Georgia's racing people down the highway.
Okay, so I was a little bit confused. They got like George and Young, and so I don't even know which one's which, but one transferred to Georgia, the other one's got speed racing down, and I'm like, you guys should have flipped. Like, that would have been so maybe that kid transfers to Georgia too. It seems like he's a good culture fit.
Oh, man.
But, I'll get clipped. But, I think it really does. It probably sets the expectations a little bit higher for Miami. We don't have to do a full schedule breakdown of them or anything. But when you look at their schedule, the only games they realistically should lose would be maybe in the Swamp, maybe against Florida State and Louisville. They should win the other nine games on their schedule. They absolutely should. They're going to be a favorite in all nine of them.
Oh, we'll find out, but they lose at least one or two more.
And they'll probably be a favorite.
Whoa, Joel.
And they'll probably be a favorite when... Joel, let's get it. Just now, your show, love the content. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate that, my man. Do we have a Florida State one for him? You can do a good one.
Yeah, plant the spear, whatever it is. Play some Jeff Cole home.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
But all that to say, I think it makes the expectation they got to win 9 or 10 games. With a second or third round quarterback coming back,
if they don't get to Charlotte, it's a fireball offense.
Yeah, and the thing is, they'll probably go 8-4. They'll probably go 7-5 or 8-4.
Oh, 100%.
And they certainly could. I think they could beat Florida. I think they could beat us. I think Florida's there are games they could win. But
Florida's going to be trash next year.
I think it's, I don't know. I think the expectations there are going to be up. They've got to win. They're talking about the playoff. They should. Yes,
they won't be in the playoff. No. Even in the Swamp, I'm going to take Miami. I'd take them -7.5 against Florida, to be honest.
-7.5. Oh, two score win in the Swamp.
I would take that.
So to me, the biggest advantage that Florida had in that game was quarterback. I thought Mertz was the guy. Nah. And so now what's their advantage?
Miami has a better quarterback. They have the better offensive line. They have the better defensive line. I think they're questionable at their skill positions at Miami and Florida as well. I don't know, but I just think Miami's better where it counts. I would take Miami.
I thought that Florida could maybe hang around in that game because, one, it's in the Swamp. That's a tough place to play. You saw our guys.
It really is.
Blown out either. And I thought they had the quarterback advantage. Mertz played a lot better last year than I thought. And if you were going to roll out Mertz versus Ja'Cory Brown, I thought Mertz could probably make a few more plays than Brown did, or Emery or whoever you were going to start. I thought that Mertz would, even though I thought Miami had a better roster, I thought that Florida's quarterback and home field would give them the edge, and it would really come down to which coach screwed it up more, which it still might come down to that. right. But at this point, it would surprise me at this point, and there's a long way to go between now and then, and we'll learn a lot about these teams through the offseason, the spring, and everything else. It would surprise me if Miami didn't win that game. And Florida, man, we could spend an hour talking about Florida, so we'll move on from there. But
Florida might get blown out, honestly.
I could see them getting run. And I'll tell you this. Their schedule is one of the toughest I've ever seen.
Yes,
and they've got to play in their first four games. They've got to play Miami, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M.
And UCF, right?
They play UCF the next week with KJ Jefferson, a guy
easy.
Who beat them by himself with a 2-10 Arkansas team. It was like a 2-8 Arkansas team at the time. Then they got to play Tennessee and Kentucky. And then their last five are UGA, Ole Miss, Texas, LSU, and Florida State. Like, it is, whew, it's a lot of losses coming there. So
they're going 0 for November for sure.
Yeah, just like this year. So, all right, somebody get up there and beat Joel on that
Super good luck.
I don't have. We don't have Cash App, Philip. I got shut down for gambling. Sorry about that. The Venmo and the PayPal is all we got, man. Or send it through the YouTube or sign up for Patreon or something. Man, I don't know. Sorry about that. All right, Richie, let's talk about this and then let's get out of here. Harlan, we'll clip this one up too. But did you see the ESPN SB thing I sent you?
I read a little bit of it. Apparently, what happened? They were like accepting awards like they didn't actually qualify for or something?
Yeah. So we had somebody in the comments ask about this, so wanted to address it specifically. ESPN, College Game Day, the hosts and the on-air talent, for whatever reason, like I'm not an Emmy expert. I don't know what's eligible for an Emmy, what's not, what you can get for a Grammy. Oh, I don't follow any of that crap, right? I don't care. What I do know is that they were, look at Joel coming back in again. We're going to have to just clip this part out, Harlan, but jeez. Joel.
What are we doing here?
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
Joel, you win fan of the year.
Yes. Here we are, January 14th, I'll be and we Joel, already have Joel, a fan of the year.
Joel times two. Harley, just make it say Joel times two on his little thing there. Philip, there's a Venmo there at the bottom. It's just double fries. So, all right, so ESPN, Joel, I'm a little bit tongue-tied now that you're showing me way too much love. Yeah, but ESPN essentially, not College Game Day hosts not eligible to win Emmys for whatever reason, right? Like, I don't know what the rules are. I don't follow the Emmys that well, I guess. But what they were doing was they were submitting applications for people with similar names. Like instead of Reese Davis, it would say Randy Davis. Instead of Chris Fowler, it would say, Charles Fowler. Instead of Sam Ponder, it would say, Sarah Ponder, stuff like that. Kirk Herbstreit, it would say, Kit Herbstreit or whatever. And they were using fake names to get their people Emmys. The Emmys would come in and they would take them to you can go to any local trophy shop. I don't even know if trophy shops still exist now with Amazon and the online market. But, there used to be little trophy shops all over. Not all over, but, they'd be in different towns or whatever. I remember one like right down the road from where we used to go to Outback a lot. And there was one right next to it. And they'd take them in there and get the names scrubbed and have them engraved with the right name. So they'd put Kirk on it instead of Kit or whatever. They did this for years, decades. And it was this big scandal. And they had to return 37 Emmys. Richie, we give ESPN a hard time about a lot of things. We talk a lot of crap about ESPN. And we just absolutely, dude, Joel, you're the man. Upped his Battles End membership. You guys better be Battles End members. So it was literally like they would do it every year. They would cheat and lie and steal. Like, that is all three of those. Like, and you could say, shoot the Emmys, it's not a big deal. No, that is cheating and that is lying and that is stealing. And so for everybody out there, like, I hate to make this a bigger thing, but for everybody out there that's like, ESPN, like, they don't care. They're just covering sports. They don't care about your team or this team or keeping this team out of the playoffs. No, they're liars and they're cheaters and they've got an agenda and I don't care. Listen, I'm not saying that, because they did this Emmy thing, they kept Florida State out of play. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, it's more than they're just covering sports, man. They are greedy, money-hungry, power-hungry, attention-hungry people. And I will say, it said in the report that none of the on-air talent like really knew that that was happening. I don't know how that's the case. I don't know how you win an Emmy and don't really win it, but I don't know. I'll take them at their word for that, and I won't throw even more potatoes at Kirk while we're over in Ireland. But I will say, for you to do this and for you to literally, like, have this entire ploy and this entire scam, like, what are the morals at this organization? Like, any? Are there any?
They have none. They have none. And it starts at the top, Bob Iger, I have plenty of opinions on it, Disney and ESPN and ABC and all that. I'll just I'm going to refrain. I'm going to hold back, TJ. There's some things I could say. I'll get myself in trouble if I say what I really think. But yeah, the morals of that organization, the morals of that organization are zero. My wife works for Disney for 13 years, and the stories I heard from her, how they treat their employees, it's disgusting. It really is. And they trap them in there. And I'm glad my wife was able to get out and get a new job. But a lot of people feel trapped. And that's just what Disney does. And Bob Iger, he is a piece of shit. I'm sorry. This was a clean show until then, but I had to say it. It's just disgusting what they do to their employees, how they treat them. And, you know, this is not surprising at all to me to hear this story. And I will just leave it at that. I will refrain from going further because I will get myself in trouble.
Listen, it is shocking to me that people can still look at ESPN and not think. Now, I'll tell you, I think ESPN, let me back up some, right? Let me pour a little bit more of this while we're talking. I think ESPN does a, you can hear that. I think ESPN does a good job with live sports. I think their live sports coverage is really good. And maybe
that's all the content they have, because their original content is trash outside of the 30 awful. For 30s.
And maybe they're not even really that good with live sports. They just have like literally all the rights to everything. And so like that's just all the live sports I know. But I mean, I think they do. I like a lot of their commentators. I like some of the stuff. I'll tell you, before it got so stupid and everything had to be like a sob story, I liked Game Day. You know, like I enjoyed watch. I woke up every morning, Richie, and watched Game Day.
Yeah.
You know, I loved when Florida State got it. And I've been to Game Day at like six different stadiums. It's phenomenal. But I mean, it used to be. But ESPN, what a just trash organization. From top to bottom, and people that want to defend it, again, I'm not saying, oh, Florida State got left out of the playoff because ESPN faked Emmys. That's not, but it's
nothing to do with that.
About
yeah.
the when you think about like the lack of morals that you have to have, to pull something like this off. When you think about the, I mean, just the deception, the lying, you know, the thinking that you're above the rules. Like all of that to me plays into not only this Emmy crap, but just everything else we've seen with the way they flip-flopped, the way that their play by, like, you know, Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and Greg McElroy. Oh no, we weren't told to say these different things, but we all changed our mind the morning of the selection show and didn't have anything else. Like, again, I'm not trying to compare everything to Florida State, but this is a Florida State show. So if you don't like that, go find another one. I think that when you think about it from that angle and you think about the fact that these people have no morals, they have no moral compass, they have no, you know, there's nothing in them that would say like, hey, we need to do what's right in a situation. It is truly just what benefits us the most. And that's, I think, how you come up with stuff like this. You come up with a snub that the rest of college football is talking about 60 days later, right? And so, yeah, they're maybe 50 days later. So they're frustrating to see, but yeah, I might apply. What are the podcast awards? Are there podcast awards? I might apply for like a Ray Barnes but, and like a Henry Harris.
Since we're going off script entirely, let me give a shout out to Pat McAfee, because the ESPN executives did not want Aaron Rodgers on anymore. Pat McAfee said, you know, he's not coming on anymore, guys, until after football's over. And then out of nowhere, the very next day, Pat McAfee's like, let's welcome Aaron Rodgers onto the show. Like, I loved that. Like, I don't care what you think about Aaron Rodgers or Pat McAfee. I love Pat McAfee because he clearly does not care. He said, basically, if you want to fire me, fire me. I don't care. But I'm going to do this show exactly how I want to do it. And that's why, TJ, I would never want to sell our show to anybody if they thought they could control what we say, because I want to be able to say whatever I want to. And Pat McAfee did that, and that was amazing.
I will tell you, I don't love McAfee's shtick. I don't necessarily love his takes. I think he's got some pretty awful takes. I mean, you know, people would probably say that about me too, right? Like, they'd probably say, like, you know, TJ, your takes suck too, so whatever. And so that's fine. I do love how much he does not give a flying F. Like, he is like, yeah, look, I will do what I want. If you can me from this network, I will go somewhere else and everyone will follow me. I do not care. I don't care about the rules. Make
billions of dollars. Yeah.
He is. Have you watched Billions?
I've not.
Okay, well, he's the guy from Billion. I mean, just like Playboy billionaire. Like, I mean, not that McAfee's a billionaire, but like Playboy, like, really, like, I don't give an F. I'll do what I want. You know, like, he's the Joe Rogan of ESPN, right? Like, oh, cancel me, cancel this, cancel these. So yeah, McAfee as a sports guy, whatever, take it or leave it. His who he is, in like flipping the middle finger to ESPN. That's what I like about him. Yes. So yeah, I'm seeing some comments. His takes are terrible. He's not good with takes, but he is. Yeah, he's good at throwing a middle finger up to ESPN. I like that. So yeah, Harlan, Richie, I've submitted some fake Emmys on you guys' behalf. Just keep an eye out in the mail for if it says, you know, I'll Henry Harris or, you know, Ray Barnes. That's what, you know, I need to take it to an engraver. So all right, Richie, some shout outs and we'll get out of here.
No shout-outs. Shout-out the Florida State basketball team. If they have another undefeated week, we will have a basketball minute next weekend. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm just so happy for him. I did not want to see him go out sad. And, you know, shout-out to a non-shout-out. Can we do non-shout-out, CJ, to the
– We'll call it a call-out. We'll call it a call-out.
What's the governor of New York? What's her name?
I don't know, man.
Katie Hoffa, whatever it was, for not playing the Bills game tomorrow as scheduled, because that would have been amazing to watch that in a blizzard. And then shout out to Tampa Bay and, you know, Monday night, when you guys are probably listening to this on Monday, I cannot wait to see the Bucks and Eagles. If they win and the Rams lose and the Cowboys lose, the Bucks are going to host the second playoff game, and I will be there for that one. I think you're going Monday night, TJ, but I'm excited for the Bucks playoff run. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's nice to not have any expectations and not care. The Cowboys are down by 25 right now with 16 minutes to go. So
I got Green Bay plus 7.
Yeah, either we're going to see like the greatest comeback since Brady Super Bowl, or the Cowboys are out. So which either one of those I'm good with. Like I'm good with the Cowboys losing. I'm also okay with like watching a 30-point comeback. Like that'd be exciting as heck. Like whatever. So I'm a winner either.
Well, no, I got money on this game, so I can't see this comeback. So
well, I mean, but if you you know, as long as they don't lose by 7, you know, just
that's true. Hey, if they win by 8 or 6, I'm good.
So I'll be out of the Bucks game tomorrow. Hey, if you're out of the Bucks game, hit our Discord, hit my DMs on Twitter or something. I'd love to meet up with you at the Bucks game. A buddy gave me a ticket, so my kids are also busy tomorrow, so I'm literally just going to go down there super early and have fun. So shout out to Nia Latson, hit 1,000 points for the women's hoops team. They've been on a tear as well. Upset of number 11, Virginia Tech today at TLC double C. So good stuff there, women's hoops. Softball gets going in just about a month as well. So Richie, I think that's all we got today. Hey, if you're not already, hit the subscribe button. Appreciate you guys a ton for watching this, supporting us, rocking with the channel. Portal stuff has been crazy over the last week. I feel like that's all we've done and all we've talked about. We'll get to some other stuff this week. Thank you guys as always for tuning in, hanging out, watching. And most of all, thank you, Mike Norvell, for several more years here in Tallahassee. My heart could not have taken anything but the way they went down this week. So love you, Mike Norvell. Thank you. And I love all you guys for tuning in. Richie Harlan, good times. We'll see you back here next week at 6 o'clock. We'll figure it out from there. Talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.